This is Secrets to Win Big, your roadmap to sustained growth. Brought to you by Arjun Sen, founder and CEO of Zen Mango, top brand growth driver and a former Fortune 500 executive who has been called one of the most marketing intelligent minds in the business. Find him at zenmango.com. And now, here's your host, Arjun Sen.
Welcome to Secrets to Win Big with Arjun Sen. Today, I'm very fortunate to have with me my VIP guest, Peter Voss. Peter is the pioneer in AI who coined the term artificial general intelligence and the CEO and chief scientist at AIGO.ai. For the past 15 years, Peter and his team at AIGO have been perfecting an industry-disruptive, highly intelligent, hyper-personalized chatbot with a brain for large enterprise customers. The thing that really hit me was this whole chatbot with a brain, because we all need that smart chatbot which is there for us instead of interrupting us. So Peter, welcome to Secrets to Win Big.
Yes, thank you.
So Peter, I want to go straight at AI. You know, we all have been fascinated about this. Some of us are a little curious, some of us are apprehensive. You and your team have been pioneers in this area even before the rest of the world knew what AI is. I want to understand, what has been your driver, passion to be in this area?
Yes, well, first of all, I want to say the field of AI has been around for, you know, more than 60 years. So we didn't, we certainly didn't precede that. But as far as artificial general intelligence, yes, I've been working on that for, you know, about 20 years or actually a bit more. And what got me to that is I originally started as an electronics engineer, started my own company. Then I fell in love with software, and my company turned into a software company that ended up being quite successful. We went from the garage to 400 people and did an IPO. So it's when I exited that company that it occurred to me that software really isn't very smart. You know, it doesn't have common sense. It can't think. So if the programmer doesn't think of some situation, it'll just crash or give you an error message. You know, it just doesn't really have common sense. So it occurred to me, how can we change that? How can we build software that can actually think, learn, and reason the way humans do? And that is what started me on this journey. And, you know, I find the idea of having computers that can think like humans and learn like humans really just so fascinating. I couldn't imagine wanting to work on anything else. And that's driving me. But I think ultimately the goal for me is to have this technology to benefit humanity. And I could see, you know, just tremendously how this can help us flourish as humans in terms of helping with scientific research to help us solve problems of disease, pollution, you know, poverty in general, to dramatically reduce the cost of goods and services by, you know, more automation, and also to have personal assistants, and I'd certainly like to talk more about that, that can help us make better decisions in life. So in all of these areas, I think it can lead to an era of radical abundance and a much better life for everyone.
You know, what hit me as you were talking, and I was writing down really fast, was Software cannot think, software does not have common sense. And to me, I just felt like it's like an evolution that you're taking us through, the whole concept of think, learn, reason. And at the end, how you connect it to the benefit. Okay. So help me understand, what's the difference between overall AI and artificial general intelligence? Like, as you have built this, what's better? What's unique?
Yes, that's a very good question, and very important one, I think, because there's a lot of confusion about artificial intelligence. Now, when the term was coined originally some 60 years ago, it really was about building machines that can think, learn, and reason the way humans do. That was the original idea, and they thought they could crack it in, you know, a few years. Now, of course, it turned out to be much, much, much harder than that. So what happened in the field of AI over the decades is it turned into a field of narrow AI, and that's very, very different. It's basically taking one particular problem you want to solve and figuring out how a computer can help you solve that problem. So, you know, whether it's container optimization or some medical diagnosis, some specific medical diagnosis, or a very good example is IBM's Deep Blue, the world chess champion. So the field of narrow AI, which if we've really been in, and to a large extent are still in that era, is where you take the programmer's intelligence, external intelligence, to figure out how to write a program to solve a particular problem, which is very, very different from building a system that has the intelligence to solve the problem by itself. And so in 2001, I got together with some other people who were interested in getting back to the original dream, the original vision of AI, to build thinking machines. And three of us actually got together and coined the term AGI. And we wrote, this was for the title of a book that we were writing to really re-energize that original idea of thinking machines. And so that was in 2001, 2002, roundabout there. Now, what has happened, of course, in the last 10 or so years is that we've had statistical AI become extremely, extremely powerful and lucrative. So statistical AI is really all about big data, machine learning, and now generative AIs like ChatGPT. They all fall into the kind of the same bucket of statistical AI, where you take massive amounts of information and you train a model to do a particular task or to do a series of tasks. Now with ChatGPT, it can do lots of different things. However, there is a very, very fundamental limitation that makes these current systems, these statistical generative systems, not AGI. And that is that they cannot learn in real time, and they cannot think about their own cognitive abilities or what they're doing. They're not aware of what they're talking about, basically. So for that, generative AI, statistical AI, is not AGI. What we need for that is a cognitive AI approach.
Got it. So as you're talking about this and listening to you, a visionary who has an amazing team dedicated for 15 years, if you were speaking to a mega audience, and you could decide, you know, define for us what the vision of artificial general intelligence is. Like, paint me a picture of the world that you see, that we will have a better world because of this. What would that world look like?
Yes, certainly. Let me elaborate a little bit on what I spoke earlier on, how I believe AGI will help us. So first of all, let's think about something, a particular area like cancer research. Imagine you now have a single AGI that trains itself, that learns, similar to the way a human would be, to become a PhD level cancer researcher. So, you know, it hits the books and basically learns, so to speak. So now you have a single PhD level cancer researcher. You can now make 1 million copies of that. And you now have 1 million PhD level cancer researchers that can go off and explore different aspects of, you know, treatments or ways to conquer this disease. Now, think about this in every area of scientific research, you know, whether it's making more efficient batteries, you know, nanotechnology, nanobots that can go into our body, or whether it's pollution, climate change, much more efficient energy. All of these areas, you can basically now massively scale up the research that can be done. And AI researchers actually have many advantages over human researchers. they can exchange information much, much better, much more rapidly. So if one of these AI scientists discovers something new and important, they can pretty much instantaneously share that with other relevant researchers. Also, they don't get tired. They don't get distracted. They have photographic memory, basically. They have access to all of the world's information pretty much instantaneously. Unlike humans, you know, it's very slow for us to get access to that information. And they are much, much better at thinking logically, at reasoning. For humans, reasoning is really an evolutionary afterthought. We're actually not that good at logical thinking. So AIs will be much better. Also, their communication with each other isn't going to be hampered by sort of human egos that get in the way, you know, where humans don't want to share or are reluctant to take somebody else's ideas and so on. So these scientists, AI scientists, will be much, much more effective than human scientists, and there will be many more of them. So it'll help us solve many of the problems that we want us to solve to make a better life. So that's one area. The other area is just generally being able to bring down the cost of goods and service dramatically by having AIs basically do the jobs that will be at a much, much lower cost. And that will create wealth for everyone by reducing costs of goods and services. They'll be available to more people in the world.
Yeah, as you were talking about it, I had a smirk on my face. I was thinking, I don't want my wife to listen to this conversation. Because as you were talking about, these AI researchers share and receive information better. I don't listen. They don't get distracted. We humans, like, I'm looking at exactly the human flaws that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about it every day, everywhere. And how those flaws are barriers to information exchange. And without the 100% information exchange, we start with a handicap right there. And I, you know, this is very fascinating on the simple building block on a perfect communication that you're building this. I want to take this conversation further to understand a little bit about chatbots with a brain. Okay. From a layman's point of view, being just a user of chatbot, you know, chatbots are like many a time, like that irritant fly on a soup. Like, I am at a website. I really don't need help. It becomes an interrupter and a disruptor. But then there are times I wish I have that friend who can read my mind, help me, mm-hmm. and make Arjun be smarter. So what is this chatbot with a brain, and how is it different? What was the vision behind it? Tell me the story, please.
Yes, certainly. So our commercial product is, you know, we call it a chatbot with a brain. Now, it's not just chat. It's also, you know, voice. And of course, we've all experienced the frustration of calling into a bank or an airline or, you know, any company, and we want to get customer support. And, you know, universally, people usually react. They say, well, I hate these things, always just press zero to get to an operator, or, you know, the chatbots aren't really helping me. Now, the reason for that is that the technology that is being used for these automated phone systems and also for chatbots is really very primitive. It's essentially a flowchart that somebody writes and says, well, if the person says this, then you ask that. You know, and then if this, then that. Now, that often, those flowcharts often don't cover, in most cases, don't cover the way people actually want to have problems solved or how they express them. And they're very rigid. And this is why these systems are so frustrating, is because they are using this very simplistic technology of essentially a flowchart. Now, our approach, a chatbot with a brain, is there's actually a brain, a cognitive engine that's behind the conversation, that's managing the conversation. And the huge difference is that it has memory. It remembers what you said earlier in the conversation. It even remembers what you said in previous conversations. So it uses that as context. It has deep understanding of what you're saying, contextual understanding. What is it actually? What are you actually asking? What do you actually want? And it can also reason about things. So there is this cognitive engine, which is a cognitive AI engine that we've developed over the last 15 years, that actually has deep understanding, and you can interrupt it, you can go off in a different tangent, you can change the topic, and so on, and it will basically be much better at tracking the conversation. So that approach is basically much, much more useful. To give you a concrete example, one of our customers is 1-800-Flowers group of companies that, you know, includes Harry and David and Popcorn Factory and several others. Now, they were looking to automate their customer service, because what they wanted to achieve is the owners, you know, remembered when they started out, they had one store, one shop, one flower shop, and they knew most of their customers. So they knew what, you know, who they bought gifts for and what kind of gifts they preferred, when they bought them, and so on. And they wanted to now be able to offer that kind of hyper-personalized service to their 20 million customers. And our technology, Chatbot with a Brain, allows them to do that, where the system, it's essentially you have your own personal AI, your personal assistant, Chatbot, that remembers who you are and who you buy gifts for, and so on. So it's much more effective. Now, we're not yet anywhere near human level understanding, but we significantly very much better than the sort of traditional flowchart type chatbots. And, you know, systems working extremely well. You know, that is our current business model. Now, our company is also very actively involved in getting much closer to human level, to get to human level intelligence. So that is our ongoing research, and I'll also be happy to talk about where we see that going.
Awesome. So I want to get a little personal. I just want to look at, this has been, must be a fascinating journey. Could you take me to a moment in time when this big breakthrough came and you had that eureka kind of a moment, like personally, this, like the smile on your face, mm-hmm. itself tells me that not only you are good at what you do, you're passionate, and you're making an impact, but you're just having so much fun doing it. So is there a defining moment in this journey that really jumps out that you really want to share?
You know, I'd love to be able to say that there was, and you're certainly right that I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I mean, I think this is fascinating. I enjoy what I'm doing, and I think it can really benefit humanity. But there isn't really, I can't say that I can pinpoint a defining moment. It took a lot of work. When I started on this journey, I actually took off 5 years to study intelligence. And I felt that I really deeply needed to understand what human intelligence is. So I started by studying epistemology, theory of knowledge. You know, how do we know anything? What is reality? What is our relationship to reality and knowledge? And how can we be certain of things? Then I studied cognitive psychology. How do children learn? What do IQ tests measure? You know, how does our intelligence differ from animal intelligence? All of those questions, you know, what is free will? So I spent quite a bit of time also understanding philosophy and even ethics, you know, to say, how do we know what's right or wrong? So it was basically a culmination of all of these different aspects of intelligence and thinking that came together over a number of years that led me to the design of this cognitive AI. And I think that is something that is missing in mainstream AI research, that people don't start by saying, what is important in intelligence? What is human intelligence specifically? Why is it so powerful? And how can we put that, you know, generate that in computers? The approach today in mainstream AI is really, we have a lot of data, we have a lot of computing power. What magical thing can we do with that? And it's extremely successful commercially. And obviously, it's led to a lot of very important innovation you know, such as image recognition, you know, the working towards self-driving cars, speech recognition, translation, all of those things are benefits of this big data number crunching type AI approach, but it's not AGI.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you were talking about the 5 years you took to study human intelligence, okay? And this is something I see a pattern in some of the top athletes, some of the top business leaders and visionaries like you, is this core group of maybe the top 5% of individuals invest a lot without even worrying about ROI. Like some of the top athletes put in 10 to 15 hours a day. You put in 5 years not knowing what you will learn is connecting dots at a later time, but you're collecting all the dots. Really fascinates me on how visionaries start by collecting as many dots and then they find a way to connect, because you really do not know how to connect till you have all the dots. Now, another personal question I want to push is, there has been, must have been quite a few different individuals who have inspired you. Does any one person's one wisdom stand out that really has helped you in this journey?
Oh, there have been many. I mean, in all the different areas that I studied, you know, obviously also spent a lot of time studying what had already been done in the field of AI over the decades. So, you know, there are many, many different people, and I sort of hesitate to start listing them because I'm sure I'd miss some important ones. I mean, Doug Hofstadter is definitely on that list. On the philosophy side, and interestingly enough, on epistemology, I actually learned a lot from Ayn Rand. She wrote a book, Introduction to Objectivist Epistemology, which is actually very insightful on how people form concepts and what concepts are. And that is something that is not generally appreciated, just how central the idea of concept formation is to human intelligence. So, as I say, I'd hate to single out, you know, one individual, but they've, you know, I've read hundreds of books and got a lot out of many of them.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's say tomorrow you become the CEO of worldwide ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
ChatGPT fascinates the heck out of us. It's so easy to use. But at the same time, it's like a knife, very sharp knife. You need to know which side of the knife to hold first. Okay? Otherwise, it's dangerous. What would be two or three things you would do to just guide us in the right direction? Because the journey where it starts is very important. So what would be some things if you were just hypothetically the vision creator, the path creator for ChatGPT, how would you course correct or what would you keep?
Well, that's actually very easy. I would change focus significantly, or at least start a project within the company to develop cognitive AI as opposed to generative AI, because that's ultimately the path. Exactly as you say, you know, it's like which side of a knife you need to handle. The big issue with generative AI and ChatGPT is you always need to have a human in the loop. You cannot rely on them. They make up stuff. I mean, GPT, generative, they generate things based on the massive amount of data that we're trained on. And that data is good, bad, and ugly. So you can never rely on that. So really to get to the vision, to get to the kind of assistant, personal assistant or worker, AI worker that we can rely on that doesn't need constantly a human in the loop, you really need to have a different approach. I think the current effort is essentially a dead end as far as AGI is concerned. While a lot of people can make a lot of money with the current approach, and ChatGPT has many, many uses, again, it's not AGI.
So now, a fun question. Okay. After this conversation, you open your email and you see an Evite. The Evite is for an event where there'll be three people. One is Peter was 18 years old. One is Peter was today, and one is Peter was 100 years old. Mm-hmm. You have been assigned to find the right place for these three Peters to meet. So where would that event take place? And what would be one thing each one of the Peters, the Peter 18, Peter today, and Peter 100 say during that amazing event?
Wow. Okay.
So first of all, where do you think those three Peters will meet? Where would you arrange the meeting?
Well, I do have a soft spot for my original hometown, which is Berlin. So that's always a nice place to visit. I wouldn't want to live there permanently, but that would be a nice place to visit to meet. And what would they say?
One thing, each one. 18-year-old. What would the 18-year-old say?
I don't know what he would say in that situation, because that's a pretty kind of high intensity thing. But I would hope what he would say is, what should I do with my life? Because at 18, I had a lot of ideas, but it wasn't yet. Mm-hmm. The path wasn't clear. So what should I do with my life would probably be a good question. As far as the one that's 100 years older, I'm actually hoping that technology will advance, that we can live that long. So the 100-year-old would say, yay, we made it. So we made the right decisions, and we're lucky for humanity to survive, and for me to be able to live that long.
And what one question would you ask the 18-year-old and the 100-year-old?
I would be interested what the 18-year-old is thinking. In fact, that would be my question. You know, what is your life about right now? Tell me about your life. And that would be the question for both of them, actually.
Oh, thank you. So, Peter, this has been a fascinating conversation. You learned a lot, very intriguing. And more importantly, I really think some conversations don't end with the conversation. The mind just keeps going. And this would be one of those. I really appreciate you taking the time. And you were very kind to answer every question. Do you have any question for me, so which I can try to answer?
I'd just like to take a minute or so to talk about sort of the third area where I see AI can really help us. And that is to have what we call a personal assistant, that, you know, each person in the world will end up having this personal assistant that. The reason we call it personal assistant is three different meanings of the word personal. The first one is that you own it. It's yours. It serves your agenda, not some mega corporation's agenda. And the second thing is it's hyper personalized to you. It learns your background, your dreams, your goals, and so on. And the third personal is that you control who, you know, the privacy issue, basically what it shares with whom. Certain things you share with your wife, others with, you know, co-workers, and some things with Amazon. So that would be like having a little angel on our shoulder that can help us make better decisions and optimize our lives. And so I guess a simple question for you would be, what would you hope for in the future? What are your biggest hopes for the future?
No, to me, I think it's a great question. And sometimes I think we get so caught in our day-to-day, we forget that the most important thing we can do today is set up a better future for the world and ourselves, okay? And if we get too caught in the present, That's where I really feel the problem happens. And of course, it gets worse if I try to go back and try to influence the past, which none of us can change. And I just feel in that journey, as I'm listening to you today, I really am very hopeful that with all the work you're doing in AGI, I just want us to realize that our capabilities, what we are capable of doing, has no limit. Okay? That false ceiling that we put on top of us can be broken with each of these products that you have talked about. Okay? Literally, as you were talking about the personal assistant, you know, support that is there, I kept realizing that I'm elevating myself to a super CEO with all these angels around me.
Mm-hmm.
And these are amazing, smart minds with no ego. And that's something when you talked about in that conversation earlier, that really hit me, because in a team, many a time is the communication and the ego that stops us, stalls us even before we get started. Okay. Like I have seen in corporations, if, for example, you and I are taking a picture with five other people, some people may just have an ego problem. Why is that person sitting next to Peter and I'm sitting two chairs away? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, like, who cares, man? We are all in the picture, okay? So I really feel that the moment you're talking about, I right away kept thinking of the word unleash. You are helping us unleash the true potential that we can all reach. Still, it is up to us. It is the humans, individuals, we have to own, sign, turn things on, decide. And one of the things that you talked about, which I also inferred, wrote down, was data can direct. Data cannot decide. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the danger of only using data without the cognitive side, as you talked about. So to me, I'm so glad you asked the question, is a lot of hope that a better world with everything you're doing is in our control. It's not that AI or AGI will gift it. We still have to do it, but we'll have better help making it a better path to tomorrow.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
So Peter, fascinating conversation. Thank you. What a great way to learn. Really appreciate. Thank you again.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Secrets to Win Big with Arjun Sen, founder and CEO of Zen Mango, top brand growth driver and a former Fortune 500 executive who has been called one of the most marketing intelligent minds in the business. To learn more, visit www.zenmango.com. Share this podcast with your friends and subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.